No, it's a good, maybe we spend too much time on the mind, as we advise not to do.
And we spend too much time on the mind and not enough time on the no mind. And we're just
that's exactly how you're, but that's exactly the proportion in our lives.
But this was meant to be about heaven and what heaven means.
So let's talk about that. I'm postulating here that there's a place that you go to, and you go to it when you're asleep. And
sleep naturally is a shutting off of senses.
Right? Yeah, it's a shutting off. So it's a place you go to. We are supposing the existence or non-existence of a place where your senses are just so big and loud they can't make it through. Place like the eye of the needle. You have to shed all the bulky parts of yourself to be able to make it through that hole, through that tiny little hole. And really, I think an easy thing that people can relate to, and I don't even want to say most people, because I think that in modern days, a lot of people are not really dreaming anymore or are so distant from that place that I hear it all the time. Oh, I don't dream. Oh my God, you dream? It's such an old thing to do. You're so old school. Yeah. But yeah, it's like, people are surprised by, if they hear dreams and their intricacies and their, you know, richness. And not in my experience.
Their vividness.
A lot of people, if they dream, also you could see it even in your own dreams, where when you're really worked up, your dreams are very close to reality, that there's not much richness to it. It's like a replaying of something or a playing of something that's about to happen. But anyway, not
dreams
deep
are dreams are a good indication.
Dreams are a good indication
of what could possibly be. Yeah. At the end of the day, this whole exercise is speculative.
It is.
Right. It's speculative based on certain things that we've heard and perhaps we've experienced through dreams.
Mm.
A dream is a window into the no mind or extremely decreased activity of mind. Mm. Another one is through the...
Say hi, buddy. Oh, he got worked up.
Easy love, easy baby.
He's cute. Good boy. You're a good friendly boy.
Got it a little bit. Worked out in the end. Have a great day. Come on, baby. Louis, are you falling in line now? He's a boy, yeah.
Okay, all right. That makes sense. Sorry, Louis.
Louis. He's just right, there you go.
I guess he's going with you.
Our dog now.
Okay, love.
Yeah, you found a new girlfriend, huh?
Come on, baby. Hey, stay, stay.
Crazy boy. Yeah, so beyond dreams,
but
let's try to wrap up one of the other
indications are the dreamlike hallucinations that come from
deeply meditative,
but also on the easier route. Meditation takes a lot of time, and we've had great influential figures from Buddha to Jesus to Moses to Muhammad that tell us about this area, when you eliminate this relationship with ego,
so
with
prayer, center, meditation.
With very easy for people who lack discipline. This sort of crash course is a psychedelic trip that also does the same thing of dealing a blow
I was going to say quite literally blow your mind.
Yeah, sure.
Blow but your this mind, is what it is.
Yeah, like, and then you fall into this dreamlike state. It's where hallucinations are possible and plenty.
Yeah.
And we've seen these things, and there is a leap of faith for all of us who are suffering from a constant nagging voice that doesn't shut off at all.
Suffering from
a diagnosis of never no mind, always mind. And it's very straining on you. You're never efficient. It's always chaotic. It's always on. As you mentioned, you barely dream anymore. Your sleep isn't high quality.
Mm-hmm.
Because you struggle with shutting off all your senses and even the master sense of the mind.
And just to be clear, mythologically, the places that we've been talking about is heaven. This is what we mythologically have known as heaven. as Nirvana. The Buddhists call Nirvana. It's this place of no mind. It's this place of complete quietude. It's this place that is, again, to contrast it with our experience of being alive and aware, it's this place of permanence. It's this place of silence versus this place of impermanence, this temporary experience that we're having, this loud and bright and all titillating experience that we're having at every second, versus this quiet, intemporal, permanent, silent place where dreams take place, where you're at one with something else, with
at
something
one,
at one
peace,
with something
unified.
Bigger.
These are the patterns unified. That we hear even from people who...
This is what scripture describes in so many different ways, in so many different languages, through so many cultures.
It's described as something rewarding, attractive, gardens and rivers.
As something unrewarding, like not one-to-one. The reward is unlimited in a way for what you give. Like what you get is just
an
unlimited.
No bounds.
No, unbounded. Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
We don't quite understand what it means, but it is worth more than any reward, than theoretically. And again, this exercise is an exploration and speculation, and it requires a leap of faith. Mm. Hence the spiritual and religious nature, that is Udos. We try to explore this. There's a lot of speculation. We dive through a lot of scripture and what our ancestors had to say. Because we need to understand what might be on the other side in order for us to attempt to have a go at it. But it's very attractive, and in theory, it's more attractive than all the pleasures that ego can get you. And we have to be clear in assessing what that means. How could nothingness be more attractive than all the pleasures?
Than allness.
That all the weapons in Satan's arsenal. Think of the seven deadly sins. How attractive is gluttony in a time of hunger and you're about to feast? Mm. How attractive is lust? Mm. And need I say anything about lust and its attractive nature? About temptation in general. How attractive is that? Now, we know how attractive pleasure can be. We know that. We experience it. We suffer through it, if you will. But we don't know what nothingness is. And all these people, all these historic figures, important figures, that have built nations and nations great, they're all telling, from all walks of life, not just in the Abrahamic philosophy that we perhaps are bred and born within and we emphasize a little bit, but all walks of life, there is this explanation of breaking from the shackles of mind that gets you into something very attractive, and it's righteous. It's counterintuitive, and it takes a leap of faith, because we hear what we have here on this side, on the side of pleasure, we can experience.
Because you have to experience. Relinquish something that you can experience.
And it's very attractive.
So you have to relinquish that pleasure and the potential for pleasure for something that's unknown, vague, impossible to describe.
Yeah.
Even by the people who have been there.
It's inexplicable by nature.
It cannot be spoken.
Because you can't have this rationalizing mind to describe it.
And very famously, people would come to the Buddha with a question and Buddha would just stare at them silently. Because... there is nothing to say.
Stay.
There is nothing to say about it. And everything that you say, everything that we say, again, is just always going to be a bastardization. It's always going to be wrong. It's always going to be
cheapened.
Knock off. Yeah. It's always, again, you're using a tool that is our mind and language, which is another great tool that we have. But you're using a tool to explain something outside of itself. And it's just, you can't quite do it.
And this is quite the indication of how beautiful it may be, because people have come out and they've come up with really beautiful, usually poetic descriptions. We think of Rumi, we think of Ibn Arabi, we think of the Buddha.
Think of anybody who's ever been inspired has come from that place, whether or not they call it that or they know that. Any inspiration comes from a place of no mind. Comes from a place beyond that, comes from a dreamlike experience.
Yes. And that is indicative. If this is a bastardization, and it's beautiful, and it's poetry, and gospel, and
it's
all
its rhythmic,
beauty,
it's melodic, it's poetic.
It still cannot explain how beautiful it really is. This hanging out in heaven, the place of reward that is brought about by God. And all we have is speculation. That's all we have. But I think it's enough. It's enough for us to give it a try. And this is why things, having a tool, a ritual, like the zero dose that we have at UDOS with the psychedelic trip, if you will, to give us a glimpse, it was necessary for me to have this glimpse of what these influential, important, beautiful figures in our ancestral trail had to come and tell us. But it took, for me at least, a glimpse of this unity, of this love, of this overwhelming joy that exists with a decreased mind, the sense of awe and beauty, and the duality of significance and insignificance that you feel at the same time. It took that glimpse of heaven, that crash course, because I was undeserving in a way. I wasn't disciplined enough, and I still am not. I mean, we're talking about a speculation, an exploration into a kicking off us individually and as a larger group, as a community, to attempt to put together a set of tools that help us in fighting ego, in controlling ego, and in getting to phases, disciplined phases of no mind. And the rituals of psilocybin are there to help us, but the intent and the highly recommended route is to have the discipline you need to meditate and actually get to no mind rather quickly. And that takes a lot of discipline, it takes a lot of effort, and the larger the community you sit within, the easier it is for you, because we are social creatures. And if we do this together, we have a better chance.
Said, I think that's a good place to wrap up.
Okay.
It gets to the, it's a good shallow.
There are a few things I still wanted to say, but I think we should stop here.
Maybe those things you could put in writing?
Or maybe, but
have a recording separately.
When we dive into the spiritual,
we just
brought up the routine and how that excites the mind.
What would you like to discuss further? We could write it down, maybe bring it up next time. Or
I'm going to discuss the boringness of sitting and meditating and trying to get to silence.
The boringness of life in general, disciplined life.
And that's how that it may rationally be unattractive. But again, you're rationalizing here. And your rational, egotistic mind is naturally going to want to persuade you.
What about
you
all
not
the pleasures that I can give you?
Yeah.
Right? Okay.
And I wanted to talk about that. I wanted to talk about the happiness that comes from ego, from the taking in and giving in to the dopamine and the serotonin versus
the type of
joy and love that comes from oxytocin.
I would like to discuss oxytocin a little bit more as part of the reward, because we didn't bring that on.
Yeah.
But maybe we could
the
have
Owen
that.
The dose.
We could have I have an idea of how to incorporate that later on to this.
Okay.